Dear Jesus, we love you, blessed Holy Spirit. We rejoice in you, for you are the God of our salvation. You are our great I Am. You are our very, very, very soon coming King, our Master, our friend, the lover of our soul, our everything. And so, Father, I just ask that you would help me to decrease, that your Holy Spirit may increase, O God. I thank you, Lord, for hearts to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And, Father, I decree, Lord, that not only will we be hearers of this word, but we will have a made-up mind to be doers of your word, Lord, because as we do your word, it is then, Lord, that we are blessing to you and your kingdom, but it also causes the increase to come into our lives, oh God. So I thank you, thank you, thank you for the good work you have begun in each one, mighty God, that you are faithful to complete it, because your name is faithful and true. Can church say amen?
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to continue with the teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the gift of miracles, the gift of miracles. Praise God. And God wants we who are his people to realize that we are indeed blessed. Many times, you know, sometimes God's people, you know, don't really think about that, but we are blessed, and we're blessed in so many different ways. And one of the ways that we are blessed is the very fact that we have God dwelling on the inside of us. Amen. Praise God. And because he's dwelling inside of us, that lets us know that we can think like he thinks, we can talk like he talks, and we can do what he does. Amen. And that is what he desires for not just a few, but for every single member of the body of Christ. Every single member of the body of Christ. Amen. And now is the time to demonstrate who he's like, what he's like, who he is. Praise God. We are his vessels in this earth. And so when the world looks at us, they should see Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, Jesus Christ is not a hypocrite. Jesus Christ is not a liar. Jesus Christ is not a thief. You know, what is he? Who is he? He wants us to demonstrate who he is. His very nature, his very qualities, his very attributes should be coming forth through we who are members of his body. And if you agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you look in the word of God, it tells us what his character is like. And we have his character inside of us because he's in us. And the word of God lets us know that he, you know, that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, it's peace, it's joy, it's long-suffering, it's meekness, it's temperance. Temperance means self-control. In other words, not hot-tempered. Amen? Praise God. It's all these things, faith, joy, all nine fruit of the Spirit represent what Jesus Christ is like, who he is, and that he is in us, and he desires for his character, his nature to come forth through each one of us who are his believers. Today, and I just pray that each one will grab a hold of this revelation for some, that we have been given an awesome, awesome, tremendous assignment. Every single one of us who are born again, we've been given a very special assignment. And that assignment is the same assignment that Jesus Christ had from Father God. Amen. Now, we don't have the assignment to redeem anybody because Jesus has done that. We don't have to go to Calvary's cross. We don't have to be crucified or go to hell. Thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I'm happy about that. Praise God. Because only Jesus could pay the price for men's soul. Only he could shed his blood because his blood was the only blood that was holy from the Father. Praise God. To redeem us back from the curse of a broken law. But the word of God says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, say for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. So Jesus was sent on assignment to the earth to destroy the works of the devil. And the ultimate assignment was to redeem men's souls. But the works of the devil are still needing to be destroyed. What are his works? We see them everywhere. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, and the list goes on and on and on. Amen? There are people are bound in so many ways. And so our assignment is to go forth destroying the works of the devil. Now, don't raise your hand, But how many are doing this on a consistent, ongoing basis? And it's not just for a few. It's for every single member of the body of Christ. Now, the devil is on his job. How many know that? All right. He's doing his job. And he enjoys doing his job big time. Amen. Now, I might as well, you know, just tell it like it is. And he has so many people bound. So many people bound. And the greatest bondage of all is the people that he has ownership over. They sometimes don't even realize it. As long as they are in his kingdom of darkness and death, they belong to him. Pure and simple. And his job is to keep them there. And another part of his job is to draw those who have become born again and have left his kingdom. That upsets him. Try to draw them back to his kingdom. Doing his ways, his thinking like him, acting like him, and even turning their back on Almighty God completely. So that is his job. Now, the Lord wants us to realize that he's equipped us. The word of God tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is God in me than he that is in the world. So God wants us to realize that he's inside of us and he's greater than the devil and his demons. Before that, just above that scripture talks about, it says, you have overcome them. Talking about the children of God. Overcome these demon spirits. So God wants us to know that the power that he's equipped us with, the anointing that he's given us, is far greater than the enemy. And if we realize that and we love God, you know, we can't just love in word. We've got to show some action sometime. Amen. You know, you can have somebody in your family or whoever say, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. But if they don't put up, you begin to wonder, well, all I'm seeing is words. So we say, oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. Well, God wants to see some actions too, because faith without works is dead. What is it, church? Dead. That's right. I want you to turn quickly to Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians, we're going to be looking at chapter, actually it's only one chapter, Colossians chapter one. I'm sorry, it's not more than one chapter. I'm thinking about Jude. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Everybody there? When you find it, can you say amen? Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read starting at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath, that's past tense, who hath redeemed us from the power of darkness. That means he's already taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. Whose kingdom is that? The devil. Amen. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So meaning that he's taken us out of Satan's kingdom and placed us into Almighty God's kingdom once we accept Jesus as our Savior. Amen. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So that was part of Jesus Christ's assignment. That's not our assignment, you know, to shed blood for anybody. He's already done that. Amen. Praise God. So we've been translated into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Almighty God. Amen. Praise God. And that was the greatest miracle of all. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you became born again, that was the greatest miracle of all. And sometimes people don't think of that as being a miracle, but it is. And that's the greatest miracle. And God wants everyone who's born again to participate in this miracle. You can do it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You say, well, I can't do a miracle. I mean, none of us can do a miracle without the help of God. But he's looking for willing, yielded vessels to work through and flow through. We are his mouth. We are his hands. We are his mouthpieces in the earth. And he's counting on every one of us as well as other members in the body. Amen. So what's the greatest miracle of all? When somebody accepts the Lord. Right. When somebody becomes born again. That's the greatest miracle of all. Amen. Praise God. And then God in his word lets us know that he's commissioned us. We're on assignment. Say, I'm on assignment. Given to me by Almighty God. you might say, well, I've got a great job, or I've got this, I got a, my assignment, I've got to be at work, or I'm going to be sent so-and-so to do some place to do that. Now, that's fine. But we have a higher assignment. We are his ambassadors in this earth. Ambassadors. He's given us an assignment. And so we should never realize, you know, say, well, I'm taking leave of my assignment. No, this is an assignment we never are supposed to take leave of. We're never supposed to be too busy. And we need to, even on vacation, be conscious. I'm on assignment. And when God brings somebody into your life and my life, it's not by accident. It's not by accident. They come into our lives, whether they're saved or unsaved. He's bringing that person across our path for a purpose. He wants us to realize, whether it's on the job, whether it's in school, whether it's where, community grocery store, that he wants us to make a deposit in that individual. And many times you'll hear his voice telling you, but if you don't hear his voice, you can get an unction inside. And it's not by accident. Somebody working in front of you or across from you, next to you, there's a reason for it. Amen. And the devil wants to keep them bound. The devil doesn't want them to come into his kingdom. And if they're in his kingdom, he doesn't want them set free from their bondages. But our job is to realize that we are on assignment. Amen. Amen. And God's depending on every one of us. We can't just be content, well, I'm saved and, you know, I'm on my way to heaven. Well, God, we're all going to have to face God one day and see, what did you do while you were here on this earth for me? Were you faithful? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, even when a person is saved, you know, it's not stopped there. You're to be a mentor. You're supposed to disciple them because you have the word here. And so that's what you do. You disciple them. You encourage them because most of them are babies. And just like a baby has to have a mother take care of them and a father, they need someone to nurture and encourage them to do what's right many times. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we are all on assignment. And sometimes, you know, the people are not so lovely, but we still got to love the unlovely. Didn't Jesus love us? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Turn to the Gospel of Mark quickly, please. Mark, and this was a scripture reading for this morning, too, but I want us to see it as well as hear it. Mark 16, and this was what's referred to as the Great Commission, that Jesus gave to his disciples for all times. It just wasn't for those that were then. All right, we're going to look at verse 15. Mark 16, starting at verse 15. And he said unto them, talking about Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Did God say that, you know, maybe? No, he said they shall recover. Amen. So this is part of our assignment right here, major part. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That's speaking of you all. And myself, in whose name? Jesus' name. In my name shall they cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen? They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So God has told us in his word that this is what we are to do. This is the Great Commission. Amen. And even if you are going by yourself, you know, God wants us to realize that we're not by ourselves. You're not alone. If you go to minister to somebody or somebody comes across your path and you are getting ready to minister salvation to them, you know, don't have to worry about, well, I'm by myself. We're never alone because God is in us. And the word of God tells us that we are co-laborers with him. That means we are working together. I mean, what better partner can we have than Almighty God? Amen? Amen. What better partner can we have than Almighty God? Praise God. And as our partner, the Word of God lets us know in the Word, he said that one, Apollos, you know, one waters, one plants, you know, but it's always God that gives the increase. Our job is to sow the seed. Amen. Our job is to water. Sometimes somebody else has already sown seeds in that individual's heart. And then at that particular time, we come in that person's life and we put some more word on it. And then right then, they may accept the Lord as their Savior. Amen. Because sometimes we enter into other men's labors, work that they have already done. So we're all laborers together, but realizing that it's God that is going to give the increase. It's God that's going to cause that person to receive himself inside of them with the new birth, that miracle to take place. We can't put God in anybody, right? Amen. Only God can do that. But he is counting on us to give the word. He's counting us on us to live the life. Amen. When somebody's getting ready to try to backslide, he's counting on us to be that light and to tell them, no, don't do that. Tell them, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what God is calling us to do as his anointed vessel. Say, I am God's anointed vessel, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. And see, the enemy, he will try to come and bring condemnation. God, the Holy Ghost, never condemns, but he will convict. I'm telling you, be thankful if you feel convicted. That means your heart is still tender. It's when you don't feel convicted anymore, and you can just go on and do whatever you want to do, no conviction. That's a dangerous place to be. Very, very dangerous. Because if you're convicted, you know, and then most times you will yield to God and repent. Amen. But the devil will condemn you. Let me tell you, he gets you to do his thing and then he'll come back and say, yeah, you know, and condemn you and say, well, you done did this. And so you might as well just keep on. You know, you're no good anyway. You know, you can't do this. That's him. That's never God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we serve a God that is a convictor. What about you? Amen. Praise God. So God wants his people to realize that now is the time to go forth moving in the miraculous. Praise God. Go forth realizing that we are co-laborers with him. Co-laborers together. Amen. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, the word of God says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We are co-laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when you're ministering one-on-one, just realize, well, I'm not really one-on-one. I've got the greater one in me. And if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then his power is upon you as well. Praise God. And he's looking for vessels that are available. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that leads us into all truth. He is also the one that empowers us. He is the one that equips us to do whatever assignment or job that God has given us to do. Amen. I'm going to give you the dictionary definition of miracle. This definition came from Webster Dictionary. Miracle is defined as an event that seems impossible to explain by natural laws and is regarded as supernatural in origin or as an act of God. I'm going to read that again. Dictionary definition of miracle: an event that seems impossible to explain by natural laws and is regarded as supernatural in origin or as an act of God. Amen. Now, this is the Greek definition, and it's pronounced, I believe, semion, and it's spelled S-E-M-E-I-O-O with accents over the E, I, and O's. S-E-M-E-I-O-O, semion. And it means supernatural, miracle, sign, token, wonder. Praise God. Throughout the Word of God, and we're going to look at a few of them, there are many, many miracles, both in the Old and the New Testament. And so when, you know, people say, well, you know, miracles were for the Old Testament. Miracles were when Jesus and his disciples were back there. They stopped. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? Now, who is a liar? The devil. And who is the father of lies? The devil. Amen. He is the liar and the father of lies. Praise God. You know, so he doesn't want you to believe in miracles. He doesn't want you to believe that it's for today. You know who receives miracles? Those who expect them. So get your hearts and your minds open and renewed to expect what? To expect the supernatural, to expect miracles. Our daddy is a supernatural God. How many know that? How many know you're supernatural? You are. Amen. If we are his offspring, then we are supernatural. You know, the devil is the one that puts all these movies and different things out here and, you know, and talks about ghosts and make them spooky and scary and all that. Because he wants us not to believe in the supernatural. He wants us to believe that there's something wrong or harmful with the supernatural. God is the creator. He was around before Lucifer, which was the devil's name, before he was even created. Amen. And so the devil tries to counterfeit and tries to distort the things of God. But that's why God, the Holy Ghost, he's called the Holy Ghost. He's called the Holy Spirit. The spirits that the devil brings are unholy. The movies and things that are on TV, you know, they're unholy. But God is supernatural and so are we. And it's time to believe that you can, I can fly. Amen. In him. Move high in the spiritual things. Can you say amen? Praise God. Nothing's too hard for God. Absolutely nothing. Praise God. In the Old Testament, there are just so many miracles throughout the Word of God, and they haven't ceased over these centuries, praise God. And we're going to look at them, but I want you to keep in mind, miracles can either be for judgment or blessing. So when you look at them, you're going to see them, but you're going to see some are judgment and some are blessings. How many want the blessings? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the Word of God, you know, we look at the Word in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but if you want to write it down, if you're taking notes, the scriptures you would be looking at would be Genesis 19:24 and Genesis 19:26. Praise God. And there we see the miracle of fire and brimstone, the miracle of fire and brimstone. And you know how the judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. How many remember that? Amen. Because of the wicked things that they were doing, just like our country and other countries throughout the world today. And they were saying what was right was wrong and wrong was right. And we're not going to teach on that. But the judgment came, and it was that was a miracle. That fire and brimstone destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But also, Lot's wife looked back. She was longing for where she was. And God here, he couldn't do anything until he brought them out. That lets us know that during the rapture, that, you know, before the major judgment comes, his people are going to be out of here. We're going to be gone. Amen? Praise God. And we see that over and over, but I'm not teaching on that. But we see that because of her looking back and longing for the things that God was saving them from, she turned to a pillar of salt. How many know that that was a miracle? Amen? But there was also a judgment. Now, we look at Moses, an example. That he had brought the people out of Egypt, and they were thirsty. There was no water. And the water they came in was actually a test of God's people. It was a test to see how they were going to react. But the water was bitter, and they couldn't drink the water. So God showed Moses a tree, and he put the tree in the water, and the water became sweet. Amen. Now, how many know that was a miracle? Amen? That was a supernatural miracle that God performed, that blessing, so that his people could receive water. So we're just looking at some of the miracles, some of the miracles. And the last example, miracle taking place in the Old Testament, and there are many, many, we don't have time to look at them, is Joshua. And we know that Joshua was the man that God put in charge after Moses had died. And he was fighting enemies. How many know that there are enemies of God? And if you trust God, he will move on our behalf. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. He will contend with those who contend with us. Amen. And so God rained down hailstones and killed much of the enemy. How many know that was a miracle? Amen. And then Joshua, as the battle proceeded, you know, there were some who were still, you know, trying to get away. And Joshua spoke in faith to the moon and to the sun. And he commanded them to stand still. And that God caused the sun and the moon to stand still so that the daylight would not cease so that the battle could be won. How many know that was a miracle? Amen. Praise God. Quickly turn to Joshua in your Bibles. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 10. How many love the word of God? Amen. Say, I love the word. And I'm not just a hearer, but I am a doer of God's word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So we're not going to read it all, but we're going to look at Joshua chapter 10. Praise God. I'll give you a couple of minutes to get there. Praise God for his word. Amen. Nothing like the word of God. So, you know, some of you had breakfast this morning, and that's fine. And some of you may be looking forward to lunch and dinner, but the best meal of all is the word of God. How many know that? Amen. Praise God. So let's look at Joshua chapter 10, and I want to start at verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgad, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Who were they? Mighty men of valor. How many know we got mighty men of valor in our church? Amen. Praise God. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. For I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not be a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgad all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter. Say, great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up from Bethoron, and smote them to Hazekah and unto Makadesh. Verse 11, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. What did he do? That's what he did. That was a miracle upon them. And Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. So here they're fighting, and God is throwing out stones. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Fighting on their behalf. Supernatural miracle. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. So the people of God heard him say this. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. And the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that, like before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Can you say amen? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And how many know that took faith on Joshua's part? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Church, it's very important to realize that in order to move in the miraculous and really any of the gifts of the Spirit, we must move in faith and love. Last week we looked at the gifts of healing, and we saw how Jesus, the word over and over, said he was moved with compassion. Amen. I mean, he had love. He had concern. And so God wants us to move and flow in his love as well as faith. Fear and doubt and faith don't work together. Amen. You can't have both. You can't have fear and faith together. One's going to rule. So God wants us to realize that we must have faith and love to move in the miraculous. Amen. We're going to look at so many examples in the New Testament. The apostles moved in the gifts of miracle. They moved tremendously in the gifts of miracles, keeping in mind that we're in the time period where the saints are in the army of God. All of you are in the army of God, like it or not, if you're born again. Now, you got to make up your mind whether you're going to get trampled and defeated and run over, or you're going to move with God. Amen. The devil has no mercy. I'm telling you. So might as well make up your mind. Lord, I'm going with you. I'm going to do this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's not just for the apostles or the prophets, but it's for every saint to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Every single person. Amen. And you can. Say, I can. Amen. Amen. Because I'm anointed by Almighty God. Amen. That's right. Praise God. To God, you are the devil's worst nightmare. Better believe it. You are. Before you get out the bed. I know when I wake up, well, that devil is upset. He's upset with you all too. But God is glad. Amen. Praise God. Do the damage that God has called you to do. Amen. You're on assignment. We're all on assignment. Praise God. In the Word of God, we see that Peter, remember Peter was the one that denied Jesus? But he got it right. And Jesus used him mightily. Amen. He told him, when you're converted, Peter, you strengthen the brethren. And so Peter, we see, was so anointed by God. Hallelujah. That his shadow, think about that. The very shadow of Peter healed people, people received miracles, people were delivered of demons. He didn't even have to do anything. You know, they would bring people that just so his shadow would go over them. Isn't that something? Amen. Amen. Believe it for yourself. Amen. Praise God. You know, when you hug someone or you shake somebody's hand, believe for that anointing to go forth to bring forth what they stand in need of. Amen. Praise God. Say, I'm anointed. Don't shake your head. Say, I'm anointed by Almighty God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Praise God. And so that was one way. Praise God. We see the, God using Peter, praise God. Another miracle that we see is the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. A lot of people don't think of that as being miraculous, but it is. It's a miracle. And the enemy fights it so hard, I'm telling you, because he does not want a believer to get the additional power that they need. He doesn't want them to be able to pray in tongues. Amen. This morning we had the phone ring. It was about 5 o'clock. I'm glad it did. And I woke up and I began to pray in the spirit. And somebody came to my mind and I began to pray for this person. And, you know, I asked Pastor Lewis, he usually sets the clock for me like 5:30. And I said, what time? He said, it's a clock set for 5:30. So I thought, well, I'm going to get a couple little bit of sleep a little week. I prayed for, I couldn't get to sleep. So I knew I had to keep on praying. Amen. Praise God. You know, but I didn't know how to pray in my understanding for this person, but God, the Holy Ghost did. So I just prayed in the spirit. And so that is one of the ways the devil fights, because he doesn't want us to pray in tongues, because he knows the Word of God. I'm not going to take time to go there, but it says that we pray the perfect will of the Father when we pray in tongues. And you know, so don't let your past thoughts or, you know, whatever keep you from moving in all that God has for you. And you have to yield your vocal cords. You have to yield your tongue. But God gives the language. That's right. Amen. Praise God. It might just be a few words at first, but as you are faithful, God will explain your prayer language, and it also builds you up. And you can get tapes on that. I'm not teaching on that today, but just to remind you that that is a supernatural miracle. Now, we are going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see how Philip was an evangelist. And he had gone, I believe it was to Samaria, and he was ministering to the people there. They got saved, they received water baptism, but they had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So the apostles heard about how God was using Philip to bring forth healings and deliverances and miracles, and they sent Peter and John, the apostles. And the apostles came and prayed for them and laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost on them, not in them. There's a difference. When we get saved, God, the Holy Ghost, comes in us, right? When we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues, that power comes upon us. Amen. So they laid hands on them. And the reason we're looking at this is because, you know, God can baptize a person sovereignly himself, and they can receive the baptism and speak in tongues, or it can come through laying on of hands. Amen. You know, if I lay hands on somebody, you know, only God can baptize them, or Pastor Lewis and I, but it's God that does the baptizing and gives them that prayer language. Amen. Praise God. But we're going to look at the Word of God just quickly, and I want you to turn to Acts. As you know, I'd like you to see the Word as well as hear it. Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 8. You know, so sometimes you have family or relatives and say, oh, that's done away with, or, you know, that's gibberish. You know, just smile and go on. If they don't want to receive, amen, you know what the Word of God says, and you know it has not been done away with. Amen. It's for today. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, and we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Praise God. I'm going to start at verse 5. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. What did he do? Miracles. Amen. What, for unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Amen. And we're going to drop down. We're not going to read it all, but it also talks about, well, let's look at verse 12. Water baptism, there was a sorcerer that had them bewitched, and he came on in. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. What were they? That's water baptism right there. They were baptized with water. But see, they were already saved. You have to be saved first, right? Before you receive water baptism. Then Simon himself believed, that was the sorcerer, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. And when they were come down, prayed for them. Talking about they prayed for the people, the Samaritans that had been saved and received water baptism, for that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Who do they need to receive? Now, they were saved, so God, the Holy Ghost, was already what? In them. So now he needs to fall upon them. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not water baptism. Verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. So they had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at this point. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were baptized with water, but they hadn't been baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Verse 17, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So we look at this to see this miracle take place, and it took place when the apostles came and they laid hands on them. There are other examples where no hands were laid. Amen? Amen. So, see, you're learning this so that you can go for doing it. You can minister to people. I've ministered to people, you know, in the bathroom of all places. And they've gotten saved there. They've gotten baptized with the Holy Ghost, spoken tongues. People I didn't even know. Amen. So, and just wants to use us wherever, whenever. He's looking for availability. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. He is the power. Praise the Lord. The Samaritans looking at, then Philip went down. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. And I'm just going to stop there because you can read all this later. This sorcerer, you know, he sees this. He's got a wrong heart. He's trying to buy this gift to be able to lay hands on people and, you know, and have this done because he wanted to have a big name. He wanted to, you know, take the credit for it, not giving God the glory. And so Peter told him, he said, your money perish with you. And I mean, he got scared then. And he said, pray for me, pray for me. And so we see, you know, the Peter said that you, verse 20, I perceive that thou art in the galls of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come on me. So God wants us to keep a pure heart. He wants us to realize, you know, this is not to gain money. This is for his glory. These gifts are not for money. They're for the glory of God. They're to be a blessing to other people. God's in the blessing business. Amen. And he desires that we as his people, that we be blessings wherever we are and wherever we go. And that we always, always give God the glory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The last example in the Bible we're going to look at was Peter raising a woman from the dead. And this lady was well known. She gave alms and she had died. And he was her friend had sent two men to get him to come. And so that woman was in faith. Now, when somebody is in big time trouble, they want somebody that's in faith. They want somebody that, you know, knows who they are in Jesus Christ. Say, that's me, Lord, that's going to speak life and not death. Amen. Praise God. So even if relatives are there, because there have been times, Pastor Lewis and I, we've gone and, you know, and there might be relatives there. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will have you to wait. It might be a long time until they leave. And sometimes he'll have you minister while they're there because they need to hear it themselves. Amen. Praise God. But the thing is, sometimes you can perceive and you know that there's just unbelief and doubt and fear. And you know, either you're going to have to ask them to leave and it's going to cause a problem to ask them to do that. Wait till they're gone. And even with Jesus, we saw he had to put out people that had doubt, fear, and unbelief. And the same thing with Peter. He had to put out the people who had doubt, fear, and unbelief so that the miraculous could take place. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And sometimes even people that you're ministering to, you got to teach them so that you can get their faith level up so they can receive. Amen. And then they have to keep it too. Amen. Praise God. To God be the glory. Turn to Acts chapter 9 as we get ready to close out. Acts chapter 9. And I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times when you get a prophetic word over you, and I've shared this before, most times the prophetic word isn't for right then, it's for the future. And you got to hold on to that word. Say, for example, you know, Lord says, well, you're going through and your body and this and da 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 da, and, you know, your healing is coming forth and so forth and so on. Sometimes it's immediate and sometimes it's for down the road. But either way, you've got to stand on God's word. And if you've gotten a word, it might be with finances. Well, you're going to be a wealthy person, and the monies are coming to you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And then all of a sudden, maybe a person loses their job, or a person's finances begin to dry up that they had. Then that's a trick of the enemy. And sometimes it's a test from God. See if you're going to stand on that word or not. But it's a trick of the enemy to try to get you to speak doubt, fear, and unbelief. And you got to stand on the word of God. Lord, I thank you that I'm a wealthy person. I thank you, Lord, I have more than enough, but plenty more in store. That's for somebody because I didn't plan on sharing it. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed with the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. You might be feeling like you can hardly get out the bed. But what you going to say? Amen. Praise God. Because God's word is true, regardless of how things look, appear, or how we feel. And he's no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith and obedience. They go hand in hand. Amen? Praise God. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 36. When you found it, can you say amen? Talking about Peter raising the woman from the dead. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple, she was a disciple, named Tabitha. When you see the Tabitha and Dorcas are the same woman, named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. I'm going to drop down to verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping. What were they doing? And showed the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, or put them out, and knelt down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. So we see here that he raises this woman from the dead. But he had to put out those that were in doubt, fear, and unbelief. You know, can you imagine him trying to minister? And they just, she's gone. She can't come back. You know, he had to get rid of that. Amen. Amen. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, to convict you, to speak life rather than death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And don't speak life, death over other people. Some people speak death over other people in a minute. Think about what's coming out your mouth. Speak life. Amen. I know we've been brought up in a culture, you know, where it's funny or they're going to say deaf things, but it's time to stop it. Because we're at a critical period where God is turning up the power. Amen. Hallelujah. And he wants to use every single person in the miraculous. Amen. And that means you, and you, and you, and me. Speak life. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, that your word is spirit and resurrection life. I thank you that your word will not fall to the ground, but it will bring forth an abundant harvest in each heart. I thank you, Lord, for not only hearers, but doers of your word in Jesus' name. Can church say amen? Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to share just one more example. Use myself a number of years ago. And I, Lord has used me to, you know, to in the miraculous and all the gifts of the Spirit. And he's no respecter of persons. But I was in this church, and I was going to a denominational church at the time. I wasn't pastoring. And I was doing the service.